true colors from The Desert Storm by Blue Sunshine, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 4. Obi-Wan does not like it that his master is tense. The only conclusion he can draw, given that his master seems capable of absolutely everything, is that he's tense because he's worried about Obi-Wan, which means he thinks Obi-Wan isn't capable of handling this mission. Obi-Wan bites his lip against the curl of hurt in his chest. "I can do this. I can do this," he whispers to himself.
"There is no want. There is no need," he recites. "There is only what must be."
"I must do this," he tells himself. He is a Jedi Padawan, and he isn't going to let his master down. Not on their first real mission, not ever. He's not going to let them try and send him away again. Obi-Wan tenses, freezing in place as he listens to another pair of Deveronian spacers pass through the corridor above his head. His master had told him to work his way towards the command systems, but this is a very large ship, and he's a little lost. Obi-Wan takes a deep breath and tries to settle his anxiety, focusing on opening his senses to the Force, letting it guide him. He's done this several times now, and he's certain that he's failing spectacularly, because it seems to be guiding him down rather than forward, towards the other end of the ship where, hopefully, the command systems are. He's not sure, though. This ship has been retrofitted, and he's not familiar with the design. Deveronian, probably. There's a lot of machinery down below. He can hear mechanical whirring and thumping like a processing plant or the textile factories on Coruscant. It's also a lot colder, uncomfortably so, as he makes his way further down, like trying to follow a whisper.
"Cold storage for the medical supplies."
It would make sense, though Spice didn't need to be kept that cold. The main concern for Spice was keeping it in the dark, as raw Spice reacted with photons. Then again, maybe it was cold because it was cheaper not to heat this part of the ship. Still, he's grateful that he still has the overalls on over his tunics, because the durasteel plating is downright chill. Obi-Wan slips down another junction, wincing at the loud thump he makes on landing and tenses, waiting. No one seems to notice, so he slowly keeps moving. The thrumming and drumming is getting louder as Obi-Wan scoots along the shaft. He can see the machines through a grate. Large, pillared drums with some kind of spinning chamber inside. Obi-Wan watches, and workers feed a mix of powders into the drums, which output small blocks of the synthetically blended mixture, which other workers take away. Obi-Wan keeps crawling, trying to see what's being done with the blocks, and observes the small blocks being wrapped in transparaplast and packed into larger crates. He watches one worker heave a crate up, and a Deveronian laughing as he struggles, jeering and snapping a laser whip right next to the man without actually striking him. He flinches and staggers under the weight of the crate. Obi-Wan feels a sick chill down his spine as he takes a second look around the room below, not at the product, but at the workers, at the slaves. The slave takes the crate down the corridor and to an elevator, where a cart waits and stacks it on the cart, returning to the workroom. Obi-Wan pushes himself up to his hands and knees, trying to turn around, and the grate below him slips. Obi-Wan only has time to suck in a sharp breath, and the panel gives way. He drops. Ben pauses, freezing in an alcove, when a sharp burst of panic hits him through the Force. "Oh, Padawan," he breathes, waiting, reaching out. He can feel surprise, fear, and then a surge of anger, and knows his Padawan was discovered. Ben abandons stealth. "Padawan, change of plans. We're hijacking this ship," he says over the comlink, and runs, drawing his lightsaber.
"I'll get right on that, Master,"
Obi-Wan thinks, trying to breathe. He landed on his back on the work table, with an explosion of fine powder as a stack of blocks disintegrated under his weight, all the air forced from his lungs. They spasm and gasp, and when he finally heaves in, he starts coughing, choking on the powder that clouds the air and painted several of the slaves around him in a dull brown dust. His eyes start streaming, stinging from the cloud, and he fumbles for his lightsaber. He's yanked abruptly off the table and a laser whip snaps the space he just evacuated.
"Thanks,"
Obi-Wan wheezes, swallowing against the powder grit in his mouth, finally getting his saber in hand and rolling out of the way of a second attack. He ignites the cyan blade, and the Deveronian sneers at him. Maybe. There's not much light in the room, and yet everything seems bright-edged. Floaty, almost. That's probably not good. Obi-Wan blinks, forcing himself to focus, and halos dance off the glow of his blade. He gets shoved, and once more the dark-haired human man has saved his hide as the whip snaps.
Jedi,
the Deveronian spits.
Well, almost a Jedi. The little ones don't really count.
I do too,
Obi-Wan retorts, swaying. Well, the room is swaying. He snaps the whip with his lightsaber, shunting aside the next strike, and the two weapons crackle where they meet.
Free me,
the slave barks, voice full of command. As instinctively as Obi-Wan responds to his master, he responds now, severing the electro shackles binding the man's feet and snapping the collar he wears with a rather blunt use of the force. And then he ducks, the whip snapping just a hair's width from his ear, searing the side of his face. Obi-Wan hisses, turns, and lunges. The Deveronian male reels back, and Obi-Wan strikes for his weapon, severing the hilt of the whip. By the time he's turned the blade to force the Deveronian to submit, the red-skinned man has produced a blaster. Obi-Wan jerks and a hand shoves him down, saving his life. The dark-haired man grabs the barrel of the blaster, yanking, and then slams his fist into the Deveronian's face. He crumples instantly, out cold. Obi-Wan blinks stupidly, watching the floor spin.
I don't feel so good, he mutters.
You're harder than the clans of Bespin, Jedika.
Little Jedi. His savior growls, palming the Deveronian's blaster and filching his body for the transmitter to the electro-collars the slaves are wearing.
Turn that off,
he orders, gesturing to the lightsaber. Obi-Wan looks up at him stupidly, and then slowly fumbles for the switch. The blade winks out, and the shadows swirl, purple and blue, in the absence of the bright light. Obi-Wan is only peripherally aware of the other slaves being freed and murmuring nervously amongst themselves, watching for the blackness in the corners ooze until hands grip his shoulders and shake him. He looks up, startled, into golden brown eyes and a tan face, dark hair dusted with powder.
How old are you?
The man demands.
13?
Obi-Wan slurs and tries again.
13. I'm a Padawan.
Obviously, he mutters. Too young.
How old are you?
Obi-Wan retorts.
Old enough, he mutters. What's your name, Padawan?
He spits the title and Obi-Wan bristles.
Obi-Wan Kenobi,
Obi-Wan says, trying to ignore how the golden color of his eyes seems to be bleeding and crawling across his face.
Who are you?
The man hesitates, flinching.
Call me Nasadeh.
Obi-Wan giggles.
I can't. That's my master's name.
Not Nasadeh frowns deeply at that, studying Obi-Wan's face, and finally he just scowls and shakes his head.
Fit, he grunts. And we need to move. Where's your master?
We're hijacking the ship,
Obi-Wan says, his giggles receding into weak hiccups, trying to put his lightsaber on his belt and wondering why it won't clip. Trying and trying. Fett snatches it from his hand and shoves the lightsaber in a pocket on the utility belt. There is no clip. Fett mutters darkly, grabbing Obi-Wan's hand. To hell with my luck and the Jedi.
Stay with me, Kenobi.